We already listened to a message by Uncle Hans today. He was the founder of the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church in this camp. And one of his messages, he said something like this. People keep telling me, why do you preach the same thing over and over again? And the message was this. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And we need to come to that place, that realization that everything we find or everything that we need, we find in Jesus. Jesus only, Jesus ever. All that you need, He will always be. I'd like you to just take your Bibles tonight and just wanted to look at one or two verses with you from the book of Jeremiah to begin with. How many remember what our brother John Munsinger said this morning? Anyone? Should I offer you a boathouse ticket? No, I don't have any. My kids bankrupt me the first day, it seems. Anyone remember the verse that brother John used? I'm not going to use that same verse, but I just want to see if you remember. Because one of the blessings of camp is that you're in church a lot or in meetings a lot, and you hear a lot. Did you know that? God speaks to us, but we don't always remember. And that's not good. That's not good, and that's why I encourage you to write things down. I have notebooks at home. Notebooks from Pilgrim Camp. I give you a little booklet. Years ago, the staff got a notebook, with quite a few pages to write in. And it was all blank. And so you just had to fill in what God was speaking to you. And that's good. It's good to write it down. Seems that there's a connection between the brain and a better connection between the brain when you write things down. It goes in better. Stays better. At least that's what they tell me. All right, what was it? Glory and the fact that He knows me. Right? We want to know the Lord. And He's made a way for us to know Him. Not just know about Him, we can know Him personally. He's a God who wants to be known, who has revealed Himself, who comes to us, who draws near to us. In the testimonies that we heard tonight, I heard it over and over again. God is here. We've sensed God's presence. God makes Himself known. Where a people desire to meet God, God comes. Why is it that God is able to reveal Himself here at camp? Why is it? It's because there are people here who desire to meet with God. Why would you come? Go somewhere else on vacation. Sister, please. Why come to Pilgrim Camp? You know? We had a testimony the first week of a lady who said she thought camp was going to be boring. You know, no TV, no television, that's the same thing, right? TV, television. Making sure you guys are awake. No telephone, that was the other T.
No internet.
No internet. Well, yeah, we have it here. I think that we should shut it off more often, but...
Amen.
All right, brothers. Now you made me lose my thought again. All right, we have to start again now. We start again. But God is here. God is here in this place. And it's because people desire Him. And it blesses me, yes, when people say, I'd rather spend my vacation at camp than anywhere else. That's a real blessing to hear that. And I know that that's true for so many. Because here we are refreshed. God works in our spirits. He fills us. Our brother said he was filled up while he was here, and he's overflowing. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. God wants to do that for every one of us. He wants to fill our hearts to overflowing. And so we just want to keep our hearts open to Him and say, Jesus, all that You have for me, I want. I want more of You, dear Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2. That's your number, little girl. 2. Say not. Jeremiah 2. I'm going to read from the NIV tonight, so Please follow along. I'm starting at verse 9. Therefore I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Kittim, and look, send to Kedar, and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. Now what is God saying? What was he saying to his people? What had they done? They had taken up the idols of the nations around them. They had forsaken their God, the God who had brought them out of Egypt, the God who had brought them through the wilderness, brought them into the promised land, established them, drove out the enemies, and now they turn to serve the gods of the people that they had driven out. And God had warned them, don't do that. When you go and destroy those idols, don't have anything to do with their children. Don't marry their daughters. Don't give your sons to marry them. Because if you do, you're going to be ensnared. And it seems they, over time, it says after Joshua had died, and as the years went on, and even later on in their history, they seem to always go back to idolatry. They never seem to ever get over that. And I just want us to, you know, we can talk about the children of Israel, we can talk about their history, but it's given to us for our instruction. It's given to teach us something. So what is this about idolatry that we need to understand? Idolatry is more than setting a little idol up in your house. Idolatry is things that we set up in our hearts. You see, the first commandment, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? What's the most important commandment? Lord, I want to know. And it was a sincere question. And how did Jesus answer that ruler? What did he say? You will love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You see, God wants to be first in our lives. And I just want you to think, just in your own heart, you ask yourself right now, is God first in my life? Is Jesus the most important one in my life? We sang it. You just sang it. Jesus only. Jesus ever. It has the idea there is that it's very exclusive. You know, when Jesus comes, he doesn't want to share the space. He doesn't want to co-inhabit. He wants to be the only one. Jesus only. Jesus ever. Jesus all. And all to me. And so these people, they had a problem with that. It seems they always turn to idols. Now, do we need to list our idols tonight? Can you think of something that we put ahead of God? Ahead of Jesus? Is there anything that could... I mean, I know, and I don't... Well, let's try. I found in my own life that oftentimes relationships were a big deal for me. Do you understand that? Can anyone relate to that? No one? I'm the only one like that? You know, whether it's just the friends that we have to make us feel like we're someone. You know, our sister, Sarah, she reminded us that we're special in God's sight. And I don't need people around me necessarily to make me special in God's sight. God loves me. And if I have to stand alone, God stands with me. And if you have to stand alone, maybe there's no other Christian. Maybe there's no other one that you can go to and confide in except your God. Maybe you're the only one in your home who really loves Jesus. I don't know. But if you determine to say, Jesus, I'm going to put you ahead of my friendships. And that doesn't mean that God's not going to give you friends. That's not my point. But my point is there are friendships that we have that are not helping us, are not drawing us closer to God. Rather, they're dragging us down. And those are the things that become idols. And maybe while you're here at camp, God has been showing you there are some friendships that you need to break. That there are certain people that you just can't hang with any longer. And so you have a choice. Am I going to put Jesus first? You know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of Christian friends. I had Christian friends at church, and God blessed me with that. But when I came home, we didn't live in the same neighborhood. We lived in a little bit away from the church, and so I came home. I went to school with mostly fellas that weren't Christians. And I've told the story here before how, you know, there came a time I was a young person. I don't know, maybe 14 or 15, I don't remember. And the friends that I had stayed with on the block, you know, my good friends who we played stickball with and handball and slapball and stoop ball and everything was a ball you know, whatever we could do on the streets we did it. We played. We had a good time together. But I remember there came a point when some of those friends started to use drugs. And I saw that. And it just hurt me. But I knew that I couldn't have fellowship with them anymore. Do you understand? You have to make your choice. And you know, maybe it's not drugs. I trust that none of you attempted that way. But maybe it's just worldly music. You know, do you walk around with things in your ears? Anybody do that? You know, it makes me wonder what you're listening to. I have kids that get in my car. You know, and they have these things in their ears. I say, listen, you can't drive in my car with those things in your ears. All right? I want to know what you're listening to. If you're with me. But what are we putting into our hearts? Are we putting those things? I mean, maybe God's saying, you know, why don't you just let go of the worldly music? Do we really need that? Or maybe it's some of the programs you watch on TV. You know, I don't know what God is asking us to lay down. But we need to separate ourselves, beloved. That's what the Bible says. You want to be a child of God? You want Him to be your God and you to be His child? Well, the Bible says separate yourselves. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't allow these idols to be in your heart. And again, there are other things. I don't want to belabor this, but do you understand what I'm saying? You've enjoyed really close fellowship with God here, haven't you? Have you felt God near you? Ashley, have you felt God near you here tonight? But when we go home, it can be like this. But if we want it to be like this, we're going to have to make changes, I think. And God's speaking to me too. I'm not just saying this to you. It's so easy to allow the world to influence us. It's so easy, I'll say it again, it's so easy to allow the world to influence us. And instead of us influencing the world for God, influencing others around us for God, it's easy for us to just let it down, let down our guard a little bit. That's not so bad. It's okay if I go there. It's okay if I watch this. It's okay if I do this. Everyone else is doing it. And we set these things up in our hearts before God. We have idols. We have idols. For the adults, I've been talking to the young people, but I believe some of this, maybe all of it applies to us as adults. Sometimes money becomes an idol. The things I possess become idols. And we don't realize that these things rob us of our relationship with God. And so God has a quarrel with His people. God says, I have something to say to you. We've exchanged our glory, it says. They exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Verse 13, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. it saddens me when we as Christians need to find our entertainment, we feel a need to satisfy something within, outside of Christ. I could relate to our sister Pat's testimony the other night about coming home and just really, really being tired. It's so much easier to flop down on the couch and to turn on the TV than it is to motivate myself to get up and go to prayer meeting. Anyone relate to that? I deserve it, right? I deserve a night off. I deserve to sit down. The Lord knows I deserve it. Or maybe it's this way. Maybe I come home and, you know, the Lord's saying, come on, open your Bible. You feel that. You know, the Lord tugs at our hearts. He does. And we make a choice. Oh, Lord, I'm a little bit tired right now. I'll do it right before I go to bed. I will read your word today before I go to bed, right? You ever say that? I will do that, right? And what do you find? When you get to bed, yeah, can we relate? I'm trying to be honest now. I'm just put it right out. Let's be honest with one another. And we need to get into God's word. See, we forsake the source. We forsake the springs, it says, of living water. This is where your life is, right here, in God's word. You and I need to get into God's word every day. And we need to talk to our God. We need to spend time with Him. This afternoon, we heard those words. Now, who was here? What was the message, the central message? It's four words. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. That was the message. That's what you and I need, to get alone with God. We forsake the fountain of living water, and we think we can fill it with, we build cisterns, you know, to hold water. The idea there, I think, is that living water just springs forth, right? It just keeps going. And that's what God supplies. It says, He says, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. And what do we want? We want to have a little reserve over here. You know, we'll save it up. We're going to just save it up, you know. All the blessing is for me, God. I'm just going to put it in this barrel. And what happens? It all leaks out. It all leaks out and we're dry because we neglect to go to the source. We neglect to go to Jesus, the fountain of living water. Hey. All right. So what do we need to do? What do you and I need to do? There was a song that came to mind the other day, and one of the testimonies were given about the house. My heart, is it God's home? Is that the little tract or something like that? Something like that. Heidi, have you used that too, I think, right? And it reminded me of a song that I'd heard a number of years ago. And it went like this. This is God speaking to us. I've missed my time with you. Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say, I'm too busy. Busy trying to serve you. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? And we try to live for God, and yet we have nothing inside. We're empty. And so tonight, I want us to come. I want us to come and say, Lord, fill me. Fill me. And I want you not only tonight to do that, but I want you to say that when you go home. God doesn't ask us to live this Christian life in our own strength. He doesn't say, you know, here's a blessing of salvation. You knelt at the cross here. Now you go and you try to be a good Christian. You try. No, He gives us His Spirit. He fills us. He fills us.
He is the source of living water.
And so I trust that God will not have to say of us, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns. Cisterns that are broken, that cannot hold water. You know, nothing else will satisfy. Once you've tasted the Lord and seen that He's good, nothing else will satisfy. Nothing of this world will satisfy the longing of your heart. And so let's come to the Lord, the source tonight. Jesus. Jesus, you are the one who fills with the Holy Spirit. You are the one who causes those rivers of living water to flow from within. Now, I don't want us to feel that the message is always, this is not a negative message. You know, when the Lord seemed to give me these verses tonight, I said, Lord, can I say something nice? But I realized that, you know, the time is short. The time is short. And the Lord means business with us. He has given us these opportunities, not so that we just say, oh, I've been blessed. God wants to do something more than blessing you. God wants to do more than just to give you a good feeling. You see, God wants to change us on the inside. God wants to change me on the inside. And it's only a work that He can do, a work that He does by His Spirit. And so let's come tonight. Let's come to the fountain. Say, Lord, I am thirsty. There were some other verses I had wanted to look at in Isaiah, but I think we ought to close and just give ourselves time to pray tonight. Jesus says, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. And so if you're thirsty tonight, if you say, Jesus, I want more of you. Lord, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, come and fill me. Pour your living water into my heart. Cause it to flow out from me. Make my life a blessing. Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? Earthly things have left me dry. Only you can satisfy. All I want is more of you, Jesus. Again, I have to trust the Holy Spirit to make His word real in your heart. The Lord wants to interpret His word to each of us tonight. We're all maybe at different places in our walk with God. The temptations that you have are not the temptations that I face. The idols that maybe want to find a place in my heart are different maybe than the idols that you have in your heart. But our God knows all about us. He knows each one of us. He looks right into our hearts this night. But whatever the need may be, wherever we are in our walk with God, Jesus is enough. Jesus is all we need. And so just look to Him right now. Lord, if there's an idol that I've set up in my heart, Lord, I want it to be taken down. I want You to be first. I want you to be king. And Lord, if I've tried to fill the longing in my heart with other things, with worldly pleasures, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, when I go and try to satisfy the soul longing within with this, the things of this world, the hollow, empty entertainment that is all around us. Dear God, forgive us. Forgive me. Lord, fill me with the living water. Fill me, Lord Jesus. Satisfy the longing of my heart. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.